It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We are continuing to focus on the California governor's race on this weekend show. We're joined today on the telephone by one of the Republican candidates, Sheriff Chad Bianco. The top two vote-getters in the June primary election will move on to the November general election, regardless of party. Sheriff Bianco, thanks so much for coming on with us today.
Absolutely. I'm glad I was able to be on.
Yeah, so for those who don't know about you, can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into the governor's race?
Sure. I've been with the Riverside County Sheriff's Office since 1993, so I'm in my 33rd year right now. I was elected sheriff of Riverside County in 2018, November 2018, reelected in 2022. I'm currently the sheriff of Riverside County. We're a large county in Southern California. I'm the fourth largest sheriff's office in the country, second largest in California after Los Angeles. Rather large, 4,400 employees, 17 contract cities, 5 jails, 16 courthouses. I'm the coroner, the public administrator. I have a budget, yearly budget of just shy of $1.3 billion, and I've been fighting for public safety for the last 7 years in Sacramento, and watching this governor race unfold and all of the people that were either signed up or thinking of signing up to be our next governor, I knew that California was not going to get better and it could possibly get worse. So that kind of forced my hand of jumping into the race to save our beautiful state.
So fighting for public safety over the past several years, you know, with your unique perspective as a sheriff, what are the big issues that you see right now when it comes to crime in California that you'd like to see addressed?
We've basically, the state legislature and the governor have enabled crime in California. They have made crime prosperous. They have made, there's no consequence for criminal behavior anymore. And even if it was in the past, they're letting people out of prison early. And it's basically they have created this revolving door that we see in the criminal justice system where people just are not held accountable anymore. And when you do that, you enable more crime to happen. And that's what we're seeing. We have to make crime a crime again. We have to put people in jail and prison that victimize us. That's how you maintain a civilized society. And there's a lot of things that we have to fix. The Prop 36 would have made a lot of substantial changes in the homeless issues that we have with mental illness and drug abuse, but the current government refuses to fund it, and it's not going to be funded next year either. He came out with his budget yesterday. So there are so many things with public safety that need to be fixed, need to be righted, and it's really, truly 16 years of bad policy in California when it comes to crime.
Getting into some other issues, we're based here in the Sierra foothills of California. What would you say could be done to reduce the risk of wildfires, which is a big issue in this part of the state?
Oh, yeah. It's a huge issue in California. Now we're even seeing it's in California. We lost the Palisades. So it's not isolated to just Northern California, but the biggest issue is regulation, and it's regulation of our fire industry. It's regulation of our water industry. It's regulation of our logging industry. We have to bring logging back into California. We have to manage our forests properly. We have to give the fire department tools, every agency across the state, the tools to fight these fires, to get them stopped. And the biggest thing is regulation that prevents controlled burns that we know have to happen. We know we have to create defensible space around our communities, around our towns, around our structures, and it's environmental regulation that is preventing that from happening. The beautiful part of that is the governor can remove it with a stroke of a pen. And I'm going to be extremely busy with my signature for the first several days after being sworn in, because regulation is truly killing every industry in California, and we need to bring them back.
You mentioned water, too. What would you like to do when it comes to water in California?
Again, it's regulation. We have more water than we could ever need in California. We have a water management problem, and the state is the managing agency that's creating it. We need to save stormwater. We need to save rainwater and snow when it happens. Stop forcing it out to the ocean. We lose 70% of our water every single year. We absolutely must start storing it. Build massive reservoirs and dams all across the state, but then even manage it better with stormwater. Here's something very, very simple. In Southern California, we watch it. Every time it rains, we watch the cement rivers send all of that water out to the ocean. It rains for 2 weeks straight, and then they tell us the following week that we're in a drought. The reality is we have basins to store all that water so it percolates down into the ground, and then we have drinking water. That's how you recover these systems. That's how you save water. And in order to do that, you have to apply for a permit from the state that takes 2 or 3 months. How are you supposed to predict when the rain is going to come? But the state has purposely done this to us. So we have to remove the ridiculous regulations from the water industry. We also have numerous boards and commissions and state industry that competes against each other in the water industry. So you just have this bureaucratic red tape quagmire that stops anything from happening. We have to remove all of that, and we're going to. We're going to get rid of CEQA, get rid of the Coastal Commission. We're going to build desalination plants. We're going to fix the issue we have with conveyance. We're going to fix the issues we have with the lack of ability to build new reservoirs. We have to start taking care of California.
We talk about the regulations, too, when it comes to fire. Are you talking about regulations that are leading to the buildup and overgrowth of forests? Are you talking about actual things that are preventing attacking the different fires?
It's both. It's regulations that prevent us from thinning out the forest, from our logging industry, from actually operating in California. The best management of a forest is a logging company that knows they're going to go out of business if they mismanage it. And then when you do that, you're actually caring for the environment. You're keeping a healthy forest instead of an overgrown forest. And if you have that overgrown forest, when the fires do eventually come, which we know they come every single year, that's just a fact of life, you can't put them out. They destroy everything. So for those environmentalists, what's worse, the proper management of a forest or having it completely destroyed by fire? I mean, sometimes you just can't make things make sense. But that's how California operates. Common sense kind of left the building. And then you have to get back to the common sense issues of putting out fires. We have a unique situation here in Riverside County because we're Cal Fire, but it's Riverside County Fire. We contract with them for services, and we pay a lot extra that a lot of other places either don't pay or can't pay. But we fight smoke. When we see smoke in our, whether it's in our flatlands, in our brush, or whether it's in our mountains, in our forest, we put it out immediately and as quickly as possible. We don't let it go. We don't let it burn. There's no watching it. We fight smoke, and it's quick, and we put every resource we have. The retardant planes, the water drops, the massive amounts of firefighters in fighting it. We do everything we can to make sure we put it out as quickly as possible, and we have to have that same policy in the state.
A related topic is more and more people going on to the FAIR plan and losing fire insurance because of the wildfire risk. What would be your plan as governor to address that issue?
We talked to the insurance companies. The reason why the insurance companies have all left is the reason why our insurance rates are so high. And the only reason they left is because they told the state that because of our environmental policies, they were going to have to leave because in the event of a disastrous fire, which was going to happen, like the Palisades, they wouldn't be able to cover it. And unfortunately, they pulled out weeks before the Palisades burned down, which left a lot of people without insurance. But what that also does when they leave is it forces people onto the FAIR plan, which is not even close to FAIR, and it causes that the FAIR plan to be responsible for everything. And when you do that, that's business failure 101. That's economics 101 failure in that supply and demand. If there's only one company, that means they have to charge exorbitant amounts because they're responsible for everything. And that's why we can't afford insurance anymore, because we forced the free market out. And we just need to get the regulations done. We need to let fire departments fight fire, create that defensible space around homes, prevent things from being burned down, and then those insurance companies will naturally come back in. That's their business plan. They have to be here. That they want to be here to insure our properties. You just can't have a situation where government forces a private business to go bankrupt.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking with Riverside Sheriff Chad Bianco, a Republican candidate for governor in California. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. We'll have our second segment in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Focusing on the governor's race on this weekend's Motherload Views, I'm BJ Hansen, your host, joined on the telephone today by Sheriff Chad Bianco. He's the sheriff of Riverside County. He's a Republican candidate for governor. Getting into some more topics, Sheriff Bianco, I'm curious your thoughts on the state's economy, especially kind of some of the rural areas of California. What do you think could be done to help improve the state's economy?
You know, I think we have a great state economy. We obviously are the fourth largest in the country as far as GDP and all of that stuff, or in the world as far as the GDP. I think the problem is we don't have a money problem. We have a spending problem. We have a government regulation problem. And we could actually increase the size of our state economy if we get government out of the way. If we allow our ag industry, our farming industry, to operate at full steam ahead, we can increase the size of our economy here in California. We can increase the size of our farming. We can increase the amount of exports that we this supply food to the rest of the country. We could be California independent with food and supply everything that we need here rather than buy it from other countries. The problem is a water management problem. It is a regulation problem of our beef and cattle industry, our dairy industry, our food industry, our meat industry with chicken and eggs and everything else, and even ag in general. At one point in our history, we used to supply 90% of the country with food, and now we're down to 60%. And it's all because our farms are being forced to shrink because of government overreach, government regulation on mostly the water industry. And we've just got to get that back. Sign away those regulations. Let our farms take care of themselves. We do have to repeal Prop 19 that was voted on that we were lied to, like usual, from our state government. And that's been a disaster for our farming community because our ranches, when our parents die off, the kids can't afford the ranch anymore. They can't afford the taxes on that property. And so they're being forced to sell. They're being forced to go out of business. Or because of regulation, because of lack of water, our farms are shrinking because we don't have the water to grow the amount of crops that our farm could provide. So it's really an over-regulation issue. We take away the regulation, we allow our ag industry to thrive again, and that stimulates our economy. I mean, that's a huge driver of basically California, and it always has been.
You know, looking at the rising gas and energy prices, what would be kind of your short-term and long-term solution to look at those issues?
Long-term is we are going to have the cheapest gasoline in the country. Safe to say, I'll be very, very honest and upfront, I don't know if it's actually possible to be the cheapest, but my goal is to be the cheapest. So we are either going to make it or we're going to be right close. But we're talking $2.30 a gallon. Instead of $4, instead of $6. We will be oil independent in California. We will provide us all of the oil that we need instead of buying it from other countries and making them rich. It costs five times more to import the oil than it would to drill it ourselves. It's a crazy place that we have been in because of environmental activism. We are forcing the oil industry out of California, even though we have more oil in California than we could ever use in 1,000 lifetimes. We are never going to run out of oil. We just don't utilize it here. And we are going to. We are going to be oil independent. Kern County in California is going to be the Silicon Valley of the past. It is going to be the revival of California and the driver of California in the next boom. And it's going to be because we will be oil independent driving this economy.
If you win the race for governor and Democrats control both chambers of the legislature, what would be your strategy to try to get things done with the split legislature?
You know, it's basically exposure, and it's the threat of what the only threat that is how do I put this? The only threat you can make to a politician is to inform their voters of what they're doing. It's basically shining light on everything that's happening. My goal, my entire intent, is to make California better. We are going to eliminate California state income tax. We're going to have the cheapest gasoline in the country. We are going to revive our building industry like never has been done before. So we have they can build homes that we can actually afford. And I'm going to expose all of the legislators that don't want that to happen or that are blocking it from happening. And so what my hope is that they all do the right thing as soon as I take over, because California is going to come up with a massive referendum of state government to say we want it operating differently. But if there are people there that don't want to go along with the program, then I will expose them. It's only going to take 2 years before their next election happens, and we will make sure that those people do not get voted back in. So I really only believe, I don't believe I'm going to have a hard time. I think that everybody wants California better. I think they just need a leader in California that will actually allow it to happen, to stand up to the special interests, to stand up to the activist groups, to start telling people no, stand up to the corruption and change the way government operates. And then I think I think there's the majority in Sacramento. That's what they want anyway, even Democrats and Republicans alike. It's only the far left, a very small percentage of the 120 people ruining California are in Sacramento, and it's only a small percentage of them that are the actual culprits, but they happen to be in the leadership positions. And putting a new governor in place is going to change that, and we're going to be able to make substantial differences in how California government operates to make sure that we're operating to make our lives easier instead of punishing us for living in California.
And you want to eliminate the state income tax, is that what you said?
We are going to eliminate state income tax. It's going to probably take 5 years, 6 years, maybe even. That's a massive undertaking. There's a lot of things that have to take place first: waste, fraud, and abuse, revision of the tax code, the revitalization of the oil industry, becoming oil independent. All of those things have to happen before we can be tax independent and no state income tax, but it's going to happen. There's 10 other states in the country that do not tax their residents, and we should be one of them. Those economies are thriving. It should be us, and we're unfortunately not doing it, but we're going to make it happen.
What would be your ideal kind of tax mechanisms to bring money into the state?
It's really going to be natural resources. So you revitalize the oil industry, and then you operate like Texas or the Dakotas or Alaska or anything like that. We could actually be an exporter of oil in California. That's how much oil we have. So you utilize that. You bring our logging industry back to manage our forests, and then we don't have to buy our wood products from Canada anymore. And then one of the biggest issues that we have right now, not an issue but a possibility, is Riverside County and Imperial County share the largest lithium deposit in the world. And when you mine lithium, all of the rest of the rare earth elements come with it. So right now, that's China. China controls the entire world, but we have more of a supply than China does. Once we start utilizing that, then we're going to get the revenue from that. We can be the China supplier of the world for lithium and rare earth elements, and then we get that benefit. Once you start doing that, eliminate the waste, fraud, and the abuse, that you don't need tax money. You don't need income tax. I hate to say it this way, but it's a no-brainer. It's common sense. This is how it should operate. This is how other states operate that don't tax their residents.
Need to take one more break. We're talking with Chad Bianco. He is a candidate for California governor, a Republican. He's the sheriff of Riverside County. He's joining us on Motherload Views. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll have our final segment in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
On this weekend's Motherlode Views, we are focusing on the California governor's race, joined by Chad Bianco. He's the sheriff of Riverside County, a Republican candidate for California governor. Sheriff Bianco, one other thing that I haven't asked you about is the high-speed rail project. If you're the governor, that's a project that would land on your lap. What would your plan be for high-speed rail?
It would be to get it off my lap as quickly as possible. It's poison, and we will kill that project, and not another dime will be wasted on a train that no one is going to ride, that goes from, that's not going to provide a service. It is a perfect example of the absolute waste of California government.
Also, Naski, you made headlines in April when you ordered a seizure of ballots from California's 2025 election. Can you explain why you did that and what your concerns were?
Yeah, I mean, this is very, very simple, and it's unfortunately the media is repeating the lies from the Attorney General and the lies from disingenuous politicians instead of looking and searching for the truth. And this is about the easiest investigation you could probably have. We have our own county records that it was brought to our attention that our own county records say that there were 611,000 ballots that were in Riverside County. And when you add up the yes and no votes from Riverside County, that comes to 658,000. There's a 46,000 vote difference in the number of ballots and the number of votes that were counted. How does that happen? So the investigation is to get the ballots, count them, see how many ballots there are, and see if that matches what the machine said the total votes were. And if it does match, then obviously there was a massive error from the registrar of voters taking in those ballots. They counted wrong when they brought them in. I mean, that's a 10% error. That should never happen, especially in an election. But if they don't match, then now we have to continue that investigation to find out why. What happened with those machines that you ran 611,000 ballots through the machine, but 658,000 votes got kicked out? And so we did that search warrant to start that investigation, and the Attorney General found out about the investigation and immediately got it into courts, not over the merits of the investigation. The reason why it's in the court is he is claiming that he has supervisory responsibility and role over me, and he ordered me to stop the investigation, and I didn't do it. So that's why we're in court. It has nothing to do with the real investigation. It's he doesn't want those ballots counted for some reason. That should be the question that's being asked. Why would anyone not want to find out why there's such a discrepancy? 46,000 is not an acceptable error when we have elections in Riverside County, like massive assembly elections that were separated by 8 votes, 20 votes. And we're talking 46,000 discrepancy in ballots. That's massive.
So where do you think this issue is going to go from here now?
Well, right now we're in the Supreme Court, and the arguments in the Supreme Court is, does the Attorney General have the authority to take an investigation away from me or order me to stop an investigation? And we believe that answer is a resounding no. He does not have that authority. The authority that he has is if an investigation is not being conducted, he can conduct that investigation. But he can't tell me to stop a lawful investigation. So that's where we are in the Supreme Court, California Supreme Court. We're going to have to give our arguments and argue our case, and then they're going to have to decide.
Well, we got a few more minutes left. I want to ask you about a few more issues. One thing we haven't gotten into too much is homelessness. I'm curious your perspective, especially as a sheriff. You know, how would you address homelessness if you were elected governor?
Yeah, these debates have proven that I'm the only person that even knows what homeless is in California. You have a bunch of politicians, a bunch of talking heads that have absolutely no idea what homeless is, who the people on the street are that are homeless, and what their lives are like. I, by default, for 33 years, I've been the expert in homeless. I've been dealing with people who are living on the streets for 33 years, particularly for 7.5, almost 8 as the sheriff. This has nothing to do with homes, and this is going to be easy to solve. This is about drug addiction, alcohol addiction, and drug and alcohol-induced psychosis combined with a mental health issue that is exacerbated by drug and alcohol use. And when we start calling it what it is and treating it for what it is, then we will be able to fix it. We need treatment facilities for drug and alcohol. We need treatment facilities for mental illness. And most importantly, we need treatment facilities that treat both drug and alcohol addiction and mental health conditions at the same time. And right now, by law, that is prevented from happening. It's almost like, if you want to be a conspiracy theorist, the government set this up to happen like this, to use these people as pawns for the money laundering scheme of this homeless industrial complex. I will end all of the money that is going to these NGOs, nonprofits, and even county governments and city governments for homeless immediately upon taking over. And immediately when that happens, the legitimate ones who are actually helping will be begging for their money back. And when we see that they're actually doing something and they have results, we'll make sure that they maintain their funding. But the ones that don't come running for their money with the proof of what they're doing, we will pursue those to arrest them and put them in prison for stealing our money. Because they have been taking the money that we know has been being laundered, that gets nowhere near helping these people who are living on the streets, but yet some of that money goes back into the election coffers of the politicians who keep that money flowing. And we are going to fix this situation because, number one, it's waste, fraud, and abuse. And number two, I am actually the only person who has been working with the homeless for 30 years, and I actually care about them living on the streets, and I don't want them to be suffering anymore.
What's your opinion on the care court that the governor put in place related to homelessness and mental health issues?
It's an absolute joke. It is an absolute joke. It was nothing but him saying he's doing something. There is no teeth in it. We have 187,000 people, something like that. We know it's more than that, but the number that they will admit to is nearly 200,000 homeless people, and probably 180,000, 190,000 of them are addicted to drugs. And how many people have been made it through care court? A dozen? Two dozen? 100 at the most? There's no teeth in it. There's no way for it to actually work. It was only so he could say he did something that he could waste more money on to say, oh, look at me, look what I did for those suffering from drug and alcohol addiction and mental health. And we, instead of putting him in jail, we sent them through care court. It's an absolute joke. The only successful care court operations are from individual cities and counties who have taken it upon themselves to do something different other than what the state allows us to do right now. And Governor Newsom's plan, absolute failure. It was nothing but look at me, look what I did, and now move on to the next thing. But it did nothing.
Sheriff Bianco, my final question for you today. If you are elected governor this coming November, 4 years from now, how do you think California is going to look different compared to how it looks right now?
Well, I'll tell you this. The election process is going to be completely different because I will have, after my first term of the greatness that we are going to bring back to California, it will be a landslide victory of proportions that nobody's ever seen, because California will be, we will have cheap gas, we will have affordable housing, there will actually be housing being built in California, our groceries will be less, our education system is going to be better. We're actually going to be making our kids smarter and giving them the tools that they need and the trades that they need, the education and the skills that they need to be productive adults. Everything in California is going to be better, and the sad part is it's going to be made better within the first few months. And then the good thing for me in my next election, it's going to be several years of nothing but progress. It's going to be a no-brainer. California will be thriving like no other time in our lives.
Well, Sheriff Chad Bianco, thanks so much for coming on today. We appreciate you joining us on Motherload Views.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
That is a wrap on this weekend show with candidate for governor, Sheriff Chad Bianco. Last week's show featured Steve Hilton, another candidate for governor. You can find that show archived on mymotherload.com in the media section. Programming note, next week we're going to be focusing on a tax measure that's proposed, an assessment in the Groveland area that would fund fire. We'll be joined on the program by Pete Campa, who is the general manager of the Groveland Community Services District. We'll see you back next week for more Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.